logistics, it's not about only a movement of goods. Mm. It is about enabling production, sales, supporting growth, and delivering safely and reliably to our customer. We have also made our strategy at Jindal Steel. We call it as Build to Rise. Our logistics, which is being resilient, integrated, sustainable, and efficient.
India is placed about 38 on the Global Logistics Performance Indicator. And what we are seeing is that with initiatives like Gati Shakti and dedicated freight corridor, there are some real changes happening on the ground, improving the efficiency and reducing the logistics cost.
A mix of all the shortfalls between the mines to the industries, or between the port to the complete plants, movement incoming as well as outgoing of material, as well as the long haul distances, moving steel from east to west and moving north to south, up to 70% of carbon dioxide can be reduced.
India is targeting 300 million tons per annum of steel capacity by 2030. But the real question isn't really about how much we make. It's about how we move. Because steel does not flow without freight. And without logistics, scale is likely to remain what we call a spreadsheet ambition. Welcome to the Steel of India podcast. I'm your host, Sheetal. And in this episode, we call it Steel in Motion. We're about to unpack how India's logistics and freight systems need to evolve very rapidly if you're to meet that target. Because from mines and mills to ports, rail, control towers and networks, we're also going to see the role of multimodal infrastructure, digital tracking, and carbon-conscious logistics in building a future-ready industrial backbone. And to support our conversation today, we've got with us Anirban Basu, who is the President and Head of Supply Chain and Logistics at Jindal Steel. We have Adhendru Jain, DP World India. And we're also delighted to be joined by Anand Mimani, who is the CEO of Greenline. And with them, we're going to embark on this journey where hopefully we'll understand things like the operational intricacies involved in moving materials from across, you know, plants, zones, etc. And that, I think, Anirban is going to help us with. From Adhendru, we hope to understand the reshaping of our multimodal freight architecture. And from Anand, I think, very important conversation, decarbonization and how that is being embedded into logistics. So essentially, we'll come away from this podcast wiser on how to build not just future-ready supply chains for steel, but also for Viksit Bharat. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us on the podcast and welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Very well.
Nice. I like nice smiles always to start the podcast with. So Anirban, when we say that we are building a future-ready logistics backbone, how does that really, or rather, what does it mean inside a high-volume steel plant? And how are you preparing for the next phase of scale?
For us, building future-ready logistics backbone means being smart, resilient, and also future ready. To ensure this, we have also made our strategy at Jindal Steel. We call it as Build to Rise. Our logistics, which is being resilient, integrated, sustainable, and efficient. Okay. Let me explain how it works. I will also explain about how we intend to do in the future. 65 million tons of material, which is raw material and steel, we move a year, okay, across pan-India movement at this point of time. And out of which 90% of our movement of raw material moved by rail, 50% of our steel movement by road. So if you talk about massive scale that we are talking about here, to address this, we are planning to have a various initiative in our business.
Right.
So let me begin with our planning process, which is the sales and plan, sales and operation planning process, which is called S&OP, which is really linking from production to sales to the market to one customer, right? Now we are also, to support this initiative, we are also having a lot of infrastructure plants in our business. So right now we have our captive railway rigs. Mm-hmm. We have our in-plant sidings. We have our mechanized loading and unloading facility at our plants. And all that gives us a better control of our movement,
right,
turnaround time, and also on availability. Now this is on the planning side. Now let's talk about execution. All our execution are managed, driven by a very solid railway management system and also transport management system. Mm-hmm. Let me define how it works. All our shipments through GPS, we are able to ship all movement tracking,
right,
100% from our mines to our plants, mm-hmm, plants to our customer. So in a way, if we look at for any time, if there are any delay, we get to know about where our shipments, how the shipments for any corrective actions. So this is on the execution side. On the future side, what is looking ahead? We have got a lot of plans in our place. Let me talk about few. Mm-hmm. We are adding more captive rigs in our system. And also we are building slurry pipeline to, right, move our raw materials. We have coal conveyor to manage our mines to plants movement. Mm-hmm. And also along with that, we have our own ports coming up. So if you were to talk about, this is going to help us cutting our cost, mm, and also reduced emissions.
Right.
So all of these are part of our decarbonization drive, mm-hmm, and the cost optimization strategy.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way we look at it.
Right.
The way I look at logistics, it's not about only a movement of goods.
Mm.
It is about enabling production,
yeah,
sales, supporting growth, and delivering safely and reliably to our customer.
Right.
That's, yeah, the way we look at it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you put logistics in a larger context. It's important to understand how it's such a great enabler. How do you use data? There is planning tools available, there is digitization, all of this to make these logistic decisions that are clearly cutting across plants, zones, and customers.
This is a very important initiative, and technology plays a very important role in overall supply chain and logistics. And as I said, logistics is not about moving goods from point A to B or B to C.
Right.
It's about the way I look at creating an intelligent, future-ready network.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain how it works. It starts again with the planning. So we have sales and operation planning process linking from production to sales to a customer. That's number one. Number two, we have digital control tower, which takes into account a complete visibility of your product from mines to our plants and plants to our customer. We have our unique rail management system, which gives us completely visibility of our product across the value chain 24/7. We've also started using our digital twins, which simulates various scenarios and also tells us in terms of which are the modes that we have to go for. Number one, looking at your cost optimizations to route. That's number two. Number three, and including the planning and the optimization process, we have also started working on in the future, which is the integrated business planning process,
mm-hmm,
which is from mines to mills and mills to our customer,
mm-hmm,
including imports and exports. So the way we look at, we are going to have a complete cycle of planning process from the plant, from the mines to our plants and to the customer,
right,
including ports and shipping operations. So the way I look at Shital, I think this is not about only a one size fits all. We are going to have a lot of plans in our processes. And the way I look at logistics, it's about creating not about only on planning, it's about making a future ready logistics. There are a few steps we are going to use.
Mm-hmm.
AI is something which is also very important in our system. We've been using in some form, but more importantly, in the going forward, AI and data science will be used for our decision making in every steps.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for walking us through some of those intricacies, operational intricacies, as we call it, in this whole journey towards 300 MTPA with logistics and, you know, movement built into the conversation.
I have one more point.
Oh, yeah,
if you
were
to add on, just to add on to the points, all are aligned to our national logistics policy.
Hmm.
Using the ULIP interface.
Right.
So this is a very important. We are trying to see that how we can align with the government policy as well.
Superb. Adhindra, I must come to you, right? From the look of it, the freight infrastructure in the country still adds up to 13 to 14% of GDP, which is double that of global leaders. But that said, how do you see it evolve in a way that it better serves the needs of a high volume sector like, you know, steel? And what role do you see multimodal integration play in taking us to the, you know, to the global benchmarks? Because that would be a good place to be.
Thanks, Sheetal, and very apt question. So like you mentioned, India with 13 to 14% of the logistics cost of the GDP is much higher than the Western and the other global standards. What we see is that with the joint effort from the industry and government through policy reforms, investment in upgradation of the infrastructure and digitization, we are steadily moving towards improvising the efficiency and reducing the logistics cost.
Right.
India is placed about 38 on the global logistics performance indicator. Mm-hmm. And what we are seeing is that with initiatives like Gati Shakti and dedicated freight corridor, there are some real changes happening on the ground, improvising the efficiency and reducing the logistics cost.
Right.
Gati Shakti brings onto the platform a digital enabler by which 16 different ministries come together to ensure that investment plans are turned around faster and we start getting the impact of it much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, with dedicated freight corridor, what we see is that Eastern Dedicated Freight Corridor, for example, is connecting the production facilities on East to the consumption centers in North.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, manufacturing centers in North being connected to the ports on the Western coastline to enable the exports and similarly getting imports as raw materials in a cost-effective way.
Right.
So overall, with these initiatives, we do see things moving. But the real change, like you mentioned, the magic happens when the different modes of transportation, road, rail, coastal, come together to seamlessly make sure that logistics move in a cost-effective way, in a reliable way, and in a way where it can be predicted.
Hmm.
Most importantly, information available through data exchange with platforms like ULIP can really make differences by giving you visibility and on-time predictability to take actions as required.
Right.
To do that, what it requires is that at each link of the supply chain, the investments are required to ensure that all of this happens. And at DP World, we are focused to do exactly the same by investing into the port-based logistics infrastructure in the rail-linked facilities and platforms with which we can handle all kind of steels, all kind of products, and ensure that not only the transportation runs with the speed, but when it is handled at our PFTs, it is turned around in a timely manner. And last mile deliveries are well connected to the consumption centers to ensure customer delight.
Right.
What we are also investing in is the free trade warehousing zones and warehouses across the length and breadth of the country to ensure that there is seamless movement of the logistics and the freight.
Right.
What we see is that for a large scale sector like steel, it is important for them to be well connected with the consumption centers and the port. And with these capabilities, it will ensure that seamless movement happens. What I will only say is that India is moving forward, being more collaborative, more interconnected, and ensuring that we have a seamless movement of cargoes and freight nationwide.
Right. And I'm quite certain in that journey, as you rightly said, it's an interconnected world. There are enablers, there are roadblocks, one must encounter them. Specifically in the modernization, logistics modernization journey, how do you see infrastructure players like yourself, you've just mentioned some interventions, play a role in shaping that ecosystem?
When we start with this, right, the first thing is that when we look at logistics, I think the way to look at it has to change from being a service delivery or a commodity to something which drives the value for the business. And that's where the change starts. What we see is that logistics is going to be the foundation in accelerating the manufacturing capability of our country and to meet the Vision 2047. with the policy reforms, digitization, and investment in the infrastructure, we are seeing those changes happening. With the dedicated freight corridor, we are connecting the various consumption and the manufacturing centers. Mm-hmm. With the initiatives like Bharatmala, and what we are seeing is the development of port-based logistics infrastructure. And all of these, when get interconnected, give the future-ready grid, which can act as the backbone of the manufacturing activities and the growth of the country.
You know, the enablers and the roadblocks, I thought we should also understand those elements and how they come into the picture and how you're solving. So it would be great if you could approach it from, you know, solving for enablers and, you know, the roadblocks. But first, if you could tell us what those are.
So like you mentioned that, you know, even today, more than 2/3 of the total freight moves on the road. And especially for a scale-driven sector like steel, that can be expensive, that can have other costs attached to it, and at times scaling of the business can get limited. So one of the reasons why that is happening is the availability of the multimodal connectivity mm-hmm. to ensure that goods move from unimodal to multimodal, and there is required infrastructure to meet all kind of cargo needs to ensure this multimodal connectivity happens and business is connected to the last and the first mile. Mm-hmm. To ensure same, what we have been exactly doing at DP World is investing into the infrastructure using the PPP model. Mm-hmm. For example, Tuna Tekra is going to come up on the western coast of the Gujarat. It is going to be 2.19 million TEUs containerized terminal. We are also investing into the specialized warehouses. And like Anirban mentioned, not only that, also looking at future and see how do we make these all sustainable by not only transporting them in a sustainable manner, but also using the equipments and mechanization with which all of these can be handled in a sustainable manner, in a cost-effective manner, and the turnaround times and the last mile deliveries and everything can get interconnected to ensure the end customer gets what they want.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for addressing those clear areas that stakeholders will have to pay attention to. Now, Anand, I want to come to you, right? We have policy tools like the EU CBAM, carbon, you know, border adjustment mechanism, and these are forcing exporters to prove their green credentials. So how do you see clean logistics move from being, you know, good to have to an absolute imperative, especially in asset heavy sectors like steel?
Well, as you see that CBAM has already kicked in, and today's date, every conscious corporate in the steel industry is calculating the tonnage of carbon dioxide that they can save on a continuous basis. So with that, we also started in 2023 when the CBAM hit it, that clean fuel is no more a conversation. It is right. The need of the hour. And with that, we developed the whole alternate fuel verticals in the country and successfully kicked it off. Mm-hmm. So we believed that LNG is a good cleaner fuel, mm-hmm. Which reduces up to 30% of carbon dioxide. And EV is a good fuel powered with solar power, which reduces about 100% of the carbon dioxide. Yeah. If both is married together in the heavy duty segment, which is one of the most polluting sectors in our industry, I mean, this is a good way forward. So today, if you see, there are about 450 million tons of carbon dioxide being produced out of these 4 million heavy duty M2HCV segment. And if that is well addressed, mm-hmm. Especially from an industry such as steel, right. It's a huge way forward. Yeah. So a mix of all the short hauls between the mines to the industries or between the port to mm-hmm. the complete plants, movement incoming as well as outgoing of material, as well as the long haul distances, moving steel from east to west and moving north to south, as our country is it's a good geography and right. Roads is a very important layer. If a good mix is done, up to 70% of carbon dioxide can be reduced. Mm-hmm. And a good mix is always welcomed. And we are very happy to see as a logistics company, as when we have moved forward in this everybody has welcomed, the whole steel industry has welcomed, and today's date, they have already deployed these vehicles, whether incoming or outgoing movements, which is concerned.
Absolutely.
So ESG is the way forward for all logistics companies, and that's how you can meet, address, and take this forward.
Yeah. And I've got one more question for you, Anand. You know, when we say we're building a supply chain for India at 100, what does future ready really look like? What does it entail?
Well, today, if you see, we are not just looking at a green world, but we are also looking at a digitized world. Mm-hmm. Digitally, if you have to be very conscious that seeing Zomato, Swiggy's, Amazon's, that the way we are wanting our food to be delivered on time, we are wanting our goods to be delivered on time. Today's the customers are very, very conscious. They also want their steel to be delivered on time. Hmm. The steel companies want to know where the trucks are on a real-time basis. So A-Dash is deployed in every vehicle by us as 100% mandate. We put up apps where the customers can digitally monitor everything, whether it is carbon dioxide. We have a carbon dioxide clock which digitally monitors where the vehicles are, the turnaround time of the vehicles, because you can't lose out onto anything. You have to be ensuring that your customer knows everything. And today's date, with a click of a button, the customer knows every vehicle of ours, every carbon dioxide saved, digitally, how they want to plan the future sales program, the incoming raw material program. Everything can be well monitored with these clean fuel vehicles.
Right.
So it's the next generation vehicles that are there. And if India has to look forward, if all companies have to take a next step forward, we have to move towards the digital India. We have to ensure that sustainable logistics is well welcomed in the country by every person, so that collaboratively we can take the next steps forward.
Absolutely. Thank you for pointing us in that direction. Now's where I'm hoping for some one-line insights in this rapid-firing kind of round. Are you all ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. Now, this one's going to be tough. One logistics breakthrough that we simply don't talk enough about in India. We'll start
clean logistics, LNG, EV, how to push it forward. We are not talking enough.
Oh, okay.
Unified logistics platform, which is ULIP, which connects complete from railways to highways, single under one platform.
Mm-hmm. National logistics policy or blueprint to cut the logistics cost, integrate modes, and seamlessly move the cargo nationwide.
Okay. Now, one practice that has helped your teams think differently, we like this word out of the box, right? So, out of the box.
Digitally, using the tech-based economy of the country, how to scale it up is something which is out of the box that we are moving
into. Okay.
Data in every logistic decisions helps plan better, act faster.
Yeah. Data is a new king, indeed. What about you, Adendra?
It's no longer moving cargo, but outcomes.
Ah, nice one. All right. This one's more about you as leaders yourself. The one trait that helps you stay grounded, even in the middle of chaos, and I'm quite certain chaos is part of your lives.
To start the day with the data being reviewed so that you can be meticulous in your whole day's planning.
Okay.
Every morning, 30-minute uninterrupted review on logistics KPI and key touch points.
Being closer to operation, clarity comes from the ground.
Ah, okay. All right. Now, here's where you need to make a prediction. In 2047, India's freight network will be, complete the following sentence.
Digitally greener, data-oriented, customer-centric.
Okay.
Digitally integrated, rail and alternate fuel powered to move goods smarter, faster, and cleaner.
Efficient, interconnected, and sustainable.
Superb. And I think we've got several ideas. In that rapid fire, you opened up a set of areas that we all need to go back home and think on. But it's brilliant. And for our viewers, as you've clearly seen, the road for India to 300 MTPA isn't really only about producing more. It's also about moving better. So from our steel plants to our ports, from, you know, control towers to clean fleets, you clearly have seen that India's supply chain is being reimagined and being reimagined in real time. Thank you for watching the Steel of India podcast. We'll be back very soon, but until then, you stay strong, stay inspired, and stay forged in purpose.